The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Going to be on the box score today, everybody, talking about the Chargers and the Dolphins. What did we see from Tua Tagovailoa? What didn't we see from Tua and from Jalen Waddle in particular? Can you trust Nick Chubb and Travis Etienne in your playoffs? Can you trust Jerry Jeudy in your fantasy playoffs? So if you're asking Jacob Gibbs, I know the answer is going to be yes. We will ask Jacob Gibbs. This is Beyond the Box Score, advanced stats from simple people, and we've got four big topics today. And those topics are struggling running backs like Etienne and Chubb, Jerry Jeudy, as I mentioned, the Saints with their great schedule, and the Jacksonville Jaguars and the distribution from Trevor Lawrence, who's getting the targets. Did you know that Trevor Lawrence, guys, has thrown the most passes into the end zone this season? Most end zone passes. How about that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Like Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, I think both have 10 end zone targets this year. That's a lot.
It does not surprise me at all.
Unfortunately, he's 21st in completion rate on the end zone targets, so not turning a ton of them into touchdowns. But all right, guys, how was Friendsgiving, Dan?
It was great. We had a good time. My guacamole was a hit. I don't make too many things, Adam, but there are a few things that I make, and I really do a great job on them from feedback. It's not just my own personal opinion, from the feedback I get. And so it was so good that when you take a dish to a Friendsgiving or something of that nature, when you're done with it, if it hasn't all been eaten, the host will like give it back to you and offer to give it back. And the host did offer to, but I said, if I leave it here, will you eat it? And she said, oh, hell yeah, we'll be
eating. Oh, good.
It. So that was all I needed to hear. Left it with the host. And that's a great feeling because normally they want to get all the food out of the house. Mm-hmm. It's not that good. It's cupcakes and things of that nature. No. A nice guac with a few added touches. One of my key touches is jalapenos, which a lot of people don't use.
Yeah, that would be me. I think the bigger question is why wasn't it all finished during Friendsgivings? But that's okay. I mean, that's okay.
There were a lot of other things.
Jacob, how was what one food item, if you were going to make, would be what?
Whew, that's tough. I really don't make much food.
you didn't strike me as a cook.
No, you put me on the spot here and I was not ready. I'm looking up Trevor Lawrence off target rates, man.
That's all right. All right. Well, why don't we get to football then? Chargers 23, Dolphins 17. The Chargers had the ball for almost 40 minutes. They ran 78 plays. Miami ran 49 plays. And I think you could really see at the end, the Dolphins were just out of breath. Could not get off the field on defense. All right, so who wants the Dolphins? Raise your hand if you'd like to talk about the Dolphins. Okay.
Dolphins are fun.
All right, Dan, you can take the Dolphins. We'll give the Chargers over to Jacob. What's your takeaways here? This is three straight games with fewer than 18 points for Tua. One of them was the blowout where he left in the third quarter against the Texans, but it's two stinkers in a row against the Niners and the Chargers. What do you think about this offense in general? It's just Tyreek Hill right now getting it done.
Yeah, I think what we saw last night was really interesting from a schematic standpoint. The Chargers basically only ran a combination of three coverages. Cover two, cover six, and two man, which is just basically man coverage underneath with two safeties over the top. And every single time I watched the film on it, every single time when the ball was snapped, those linebackers, those second level defenders would drop to incredible depth to get in the middle of those passing lanes. So what I think the Dolphins need to do is find a way, and this shouldn't be too hard because you have Mike McDaniel, he comes from the Shanahan system, find a way to get back to a little bit of that running game, find a way to work that running game back in, find a way to get the defenses so they have to respect the running game to some degree right now, whether that be with Wilson who got hurt or Mostert, whatever it may be, because right now, teams are going to look at that blueprint the Chargers put out there, and they're going to do the same thing. They're going to drop those linebackers to depth. They're going to play with two men over the top. They're going to play a lot of cover six. They're going to do different things to get different second and third level defenders in those passing lanes. And right now, it's not like what you're seeing is not working for the Dolphins. Yeah. They need to figure out something different. And I think a big part of that would be kind of, I know people hate to hear it, but establishing the run a little bit more.
I completely agree. I thought they were very stubborn last night. It just clearly wasn't working. And you say the blueprint that the Chargers established, but I think you can even go back a week earlier. I'm going to read this directly from the Miami Herald.
Yep.
While the 49ers used their rangy linebackers to minimize passing windows into zone coverage, it's basically exactly what Dan was talking about, Chargers coach Brandon Staley said Los Angeles called on its cornerbacks to press Miami's wide receivers and disrupt timing. And then Mike McDaniel said it was more about their plan was better than ours, and they outplayed us in that phase. So, yeah, I mean, you're facing like the worst run defense in football. Run the ball a little bit more. Try some shorter passes. Do something a little bit different. I'm hopeful that they can. But in their last two games, the Dolphins have had the ball for about 20 minutes in each game. They've just gotten their butts kicked. Do we have confidence that they bounce back against the Buffalo Bills this week? Is there anyone you're starting against the Bills other than Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek?
Assuming he's healthy.
I will be benching every other Dolphin but Tyreek Hill. I mean, look, I shouldn't say that. If I have, I'm not going to start like Darius Slayton over Jaylen Waddle or something like that. Like Jaylen Waddle, you probably have to get in your lineup just based on attrition and how your fantasy lineups look. But I'm not going to be excited about starting anyone but Tyreek.
How about you, Jacob?
Yeah, I think it's, if depending on what happens with Jeff Wilson, you could start Mostert. We've seen pretty good usage for him the last couple of weeks. The result hasn't been there, but yeah, I don't feel good about the offense as a whole. So it's entirely likely that usage will just turn into nothing again. So probably just Tyreek.
All right. I'm hoping they can be a little bit better. They did have Teron Armstead last night. And it's not like the pressure was so overwhelming. Jay just didn't play that well. All right, let's go over to the Chargers now. And Justin Herbert only scored 21.5 fantasy points, but I thought really played a terrific game. Jacob, what are your takeaways from the Chargers?
Yeah, they were pretty conservative as well, which is a little bit frustrating given the matchup against an aggressive man-heavy Miami coverage scheme. The average depth of target for the Chargers was just 5.1 yards. And yeah, I don't know. Anytime you ask me to talk about the Chargers, I'm just going to complain about Lombardi because I don't understand it. Like they don't.
Yeah, go ahead. I want you to finish it. I will make my point because I have a little bit of a counter to that.
Well, they don't have great field stretchers, which is something we've talked about. But at the same time, like average depth of target for Keenan Allen is 3.8 yards. He had 14 targets and his average depth of target was still that low. Same thing with Gerald Everett, who was second on the team in targets. Then Austin Eckler is also second on the team in targets. They each had 8. Everett's average depth of target was 3.8. Like the offense is just flowing through these short yardage options. And it's just, I don't know, like Mike Williams played a full role and caught every single target for 116 yards and a touchdown. Is one of the best wide receivers against man coverage over the past 3 years. Like, throw him the ball. It seems like
he didn't
that
really
might
play.
Work.
He was a little limited, though. I think his snaps were down a bit.
He ran 41 routes. Like, he was just behind Josh Palmer for second on the team, 45.
Yeah, how many routes did they run, though? Like 60?
56 dropbacks. Keenan Allen led the team with 51. So, like, he was a little
slightly
bit limited,
down.
But.
Yeah, slightly. All right, what were you going to say, Dan?
So my one counter to that, I've seen this play out so many times over the last decade with the New York Giants. When you have an offensive line that is that injured and that banged up and you have the guys in that they have and they cannot produce, you kind of sometimes see, and you can, some people use it as an excuse, others don't. I might be. you can see offensive coordinators really alter what they want to do. When I watch the Chargers, Jacob, what do I see? I see a lot of play action, move the pocket, right? When you're moving the pocket and you're getting the running back, I'm sorry, the quarterback outside of the pocket on bootlegs and design rollouts, it's really hard to stretch the field. It's really hard to have a high A dot. The whole point of those plays is to fake the run and then kind of hit the tight end leaking or hit the receiver kind of coming over the middle on mesh or on like a slide route. So I've seen this play out. They don't really trust the offensive line to run a drop back pass game. And like you said, not having field stretchers plays a role as well. So I do think he's somewhat limited, Lombardi. It is frustrating as hell, though, because this is not Daniel Jones. It's Justin Herbert. He has the arm talent to stretch the field if it was like if they believed in their offensive line, if they believed in the receivers. I just think last year we saw with Lombardi, there weren't this many like complaints about his play calling. I remember the A dot wasn't insanely low. There was bombs. They were stretching the field because they trusted their offensive line. They had like the best rookie left tackle in the last decade in Rashawn Slater playing for them. And now they don't have that. So I don't know. I just feel a lot of this is just offensive line based.
I think a lot of their struggles are red zone based. They have the, I think the fifth lowest red zone conversion rate in the NFL. They stink there and they were 3 of 6 last night in the red zone. That's really bad. They turned the ball over on downs at the 2-yard line on their opening trip. The good news is they've gotten to the red zone more than any team other than the Chiefs. So even though they don't convert that many touchdowns, they've still scored, I think, the 15th most touchdowns in the red zone in the NFL. But they could be a great offense if they could get that solved. But I just thought this was the first game of the year where you had basically a full snap share from both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Josh Palmer and Austin Eckler, for what that's worth. And they played great offensively. They just couldn't finish. You know, they just couldn't finish their drive. So I came away pretty encouraged by it. I know this is kind of a statty show, so I'll tell you that Josh Palmer, almost all of his production was with Mike Williams off the field. Gave me very little confidence to start him next week, even though it's a good matchup against Tennessee. I think it might just be two guys, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And obviously Eckler, but I mean in the from the wide receiver unit. All right, that's it for this game. Fantasy Football Today is here to help you dominate your fantasy league all season long, and now you can represent your favorite podcast with official Fantasy Football Today gear only found in the CBS Sports Store. T-shirts, mugs, sweatpants, laser-engraved pint glasses, hats, water bottles, and more to remind your buddies how you got the inside scoop to crush the competition. So if you want to wear something or drink out of a glass or whatever, pint glasses, hats, water bottles, all that great stuff with FFT's logo on it, please go to the CBS Sports Store. The link is in the episode description and get 20% off with the code FANTASYFOOTBALL20. 20% off your order. Yeah, 20% off your order when you use the code FANTASYFOOTBALL20 during checkout. All right, go there. I just want to say, you know, you probably hear the pre-recorded ads a lot. I just want to tell you that I honestly just went on TommyJohn.com/FFT and bought two things for my wife for Christmas. Because it's like the most comfortable clothes. I'm wearing a Tommy John shirt right now. I freaking love it. I wore Tommy John pants last night to sleep. So I highly recommend. Our sponsors are great. They really are. But I don't get to talk to you as much about them from a live read perspective. I just want to tell you, TommyJohn.com/FFT. I think it's 30% off right now.
And when you purchase something from Tommy John, it comes with a free surgery.
Yeah, that's right. You have to wait a year, but you'll be throwing harder than ever. Yeah. TommyJohn.com/FFT. And we, check out all our sponsors, honestly, because they're great, honestly. Like I miss doing the live reads where I can tell you, you know, my personal experiences in more depth, but our sponsors are terrific. All right, news and notes. We know I got all the quarterback injuries, Kenny Pickett, Tyler Huntley, Russell Wilson, all with concussions. There was some optimism about Huntley playing this week, but you get a concussion, you usually miss a week. That's just sort of how it works. Brock Purdy has an oblique injury, and I think they'd probably feel good about him playing if it were Sunday. It's more of a toss-up because they have a Thursday game at Seattle. And Mike White's good to go. Damian Pierce don't know the severity of the ankle injury yet. Same with Jeff Wilson. Khalil Herbert expected to return at some point this season. He's going to miss one more game in week 15. Then he's eligible to come off in week 16. I'm sure you David Montgomery managers want him to come off the IR in like week 18. Let's see. Tyler Boyd, week to week, maybe a couple weeks for him. No, nothing yet on Higgins. Or Debo, high ankle sprain. He could miss maybe the rest of the fantasy season. DJ Moore hurt his ankle. I don't know when he did it because he played almost the entire game. I think it was very late. But maybe he hurt it early and then just aggravated it late. Maybe that was the reason why he had no catches. I don't know. But DJ Moore has an ankle injury. Tyreek Hill, ankle. Corey Davis in the concussion protocol, Richie James in the concussion protocol, and Daniel Bellinger has injured ribs. Defensive injuries to keep an eye on: the Jets' superstar defensive tackle, Quinnen Williams, he has a calf injury, I believe. They have a huge game against the Lions coming up. That is a huge game, Lions and Jets. Trayvon Walker left in the fourth quarter for the Jaguars, their rookie. Steven Nelson, the top cornerback for the Texans, who have had a surprisingly good pass defense this year, he left with an injury. Minnesota linebacker Jordan Hicks, a really good player, at least a really good IDP player because he gets a lot of tackles. He left with a foot injury. Defensive lineman James Lynch left with a shoulder injury. They had another injury on their offensive line to an offensive tackle. Dallas right tackle Terrence Steele is out for the season, unfortunately. So that stinks. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. Is he out for the season?
I thought it was a season ender.
And their starting safety, too. They lost both of them.
They will be getting Tyron Smith back soon, who's back and practicing. So they'll probably flip over the rookie Tyler Smith to right tackle, I would imagine.
All right, we're just seeing now Vita Vea, defensive tackle for the Buccaneers. He has a calf strain. Jamel Dean, starting cornerback, he has a big toe injury. And linebacker Joe Tryon Shoyinka has a hip injury. So they are really quite beat up, the Buccaneers. And who the heck are they playing this week? They are playing the Bengals. That's not good. All right, time for some advanced stats from the advanced guy on the show. And then we'll do the film breakdown. Oh, wait. I forgot about our Twitter poll.
All right,
let's take a look. We got a lot at stake.
I got to be honest. When I woke up and I saw this poll pop in my mentions today, I was a little bit distraught. I was just the rhetoric and the adjective Adam used to describe me. You'll see it for yourself in a moment for those watching on YouTube. But let's throw the poll up.
Okay,
Adam.
First of all, I posted that at about 12:30 p.m.
No, yeah, I shouldn't have said woke up this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I've been up way earlier.
All right. So in our 2QB league, a super flex league, playoff spot is on the line tonight. Which team will win? PPR league, 6 point per passing touchdown. Adam, I Adam Azer, am up by 24 points. I have DeAndre Hopkins. At Dan Schneier NFL has Kyler Murray and Ramondre Stevenson. Who will win, Adam or Jerkface Dan Schneier? I didn't think that was so bad.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be worse.
Yeah, come on.
Adam is like a PG type of guy. He's not going to make it that much force, but jerk face Dan Schneier. What's so jerky about my face? Well, there's a lot of things, actually. I shouldn't have asked that question.
No, it has nothing to do with your actual face. You're just a jerk face, you know?
Just a jerk face. I understand. But I think, honestly, the karma will come for you with that kind of, you know, you will lose this matchup because of what you said.
I deserve it because this is Oil of Olave. You've been dogging on the team name all year.
Oh, I have dogged on Oil of Olave.
And you get a chance to eliminate me. If I lose.
And you know what, Adam? For the first time in my lifetime, I don't know what the reason is. I feel like when I see it now, I'm like, this is something. This is God telling me something, because now I've been watching like sports games, whatever it is, live TV, and I've been seeing Olave commercials. I did not even know it was the thing that
Oil of Olay commercials?
Olay, I mean, not yeah. Olave. Olay commercials, yeah. And I was like, Olay, I know that brand now. I would have never known it otherwise.
Yeah, it's good. So I'm somehow winning the vote. Remember, I'm up 24 with Hopkins. He has Kyler and Ramondre Stevenson.
I would take your team, too.
No, I would take your team. I honestly would have voted for Jerkface.
I don't think
Schneier.
This game's going to have a lot of points. I think it's going to be really low scoring.
Well, I guess I'll keep my fingers crossed. We need a big James Conner night today. So if I win, I'm in the playoffs. If Dan wins, Thomas Schaefer, our producer, is in the playoffs.
But am I in no matter what?
No, you're out, bro. You're out.
Oh, this is one of those only leagues that I'm out in. Yep.
5-8 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So well, this is a big one.
I set my lineup on purpose because Thomas was like, I put extra time into setting my lineup, I should say, because Thomas was like, listen, man, earlier in the week.
Whoa, really?
You know, that's okay. We've already said that's
Bob
okay.
He's Shell. Like,
no, that's all right. We established on previous
fantasy. It's okay, but I didn't know that Schaefer was that kind of guy. Wow.
He's not that kind of guy.
Okay.
That's what Smarky said earlier in the week. Make sure you check your lineup because it has major implications.
Wow.
And I can get in. And obviously when I hear that Thomas can get in and I can knock Azer out, I have a lot more motivation than I would have otherwise.
Wow. Okay. All right, Schaefer. All right. Good luck.
That's not a bad thing. You should be able to do that.
My team is so much better than everyone's. And it's like so
no, annoying. It's not. It's just,
I mean, I started Russell Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, and I might lose this week. All right. So some stats, Jacob. What do you got for us?
Yeah. So the first one I wanted to mention was Ja'Marr Chase. Obviously, it came with injuries, but like this was just cool to see him targeted at such a high rate. This was his by far the highest target per route run rate, target share that we've ever seen from him. Drew a target on 40% of his routes, which he had never done, and they really funneled targets to him on first down. I think it all makes sense. like given the injuries that they just like ran everything through him. But we've seen them try to do that a couple times in the past this year, and it hasn't really worked out. And this time it did. He completely dominated. And so like that is just pretty cool because it's been kind of a disjointed season for him. Deshaun Watson played much better this week. His off-target rate was down to 5%. We kind of had fun laughing at some of the bad throws and just the horrible underlying data as well in his first game. But he, second lowest off-target rate in week 14, and that was with an average depth of target that rose compared to last week. So that's encouraging if you are a Watson owner, or if you're on DPJ or Amari Cooper or Njoku. And on that note, Donovan Peoples-Jones, 31% target share, 61% air yardage share. We've seen this from him at times this year. As a whole, this year has been much better than last year in terms of his ability to draw targets. And there have been times where he's had spike weeks and looked like the wide receiver one ahead of Amari Cooper. And this is one of those weeks. And so since we only have 2 weeks with Deshaun Watson at quarterback, that's interesting. And then the last note is Njoku ran around on 43 of 47 dropbacks, which is really elite stuff for the tight end position. He was second on the team with 9 targets. So if Watson's playing better and he's filling this type of role, that's like a top 5 tight end rest of the way, maybe top 3.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, first of all, they're getting their butts kicked lately. They're barely competitive. It's killing Nick Chubb, which we'll talk about. But they're obviously throwing more than what we usually see from Cleveland. I don't know what the case is going to be this week against Baltimore. That feels like a pretty competitive game. Baltimore could be on its third string quarterback. But I just don't really see a game where Cooper, Peoples-Jones, and Njoku are all good. I think there's only been one game all year where they've all had 50 or more yards. It's almost always 2 out of 3. And that's going to be a little bit frustrating here. And if they start playing more competitive games, if Watson keeps getting better, you know, it might be more Nick Chubb and less of all of them. So they are very frustrating. They've got 4 interesting fantasy options, and maybe 5 if you include Watson. And on a team that wants to be very run heavy, I don't know that. I'm hesitant to call Njoku a must start. He probably is, but he's not one of the must starts that's going to be good every week. You know, he's not like Dalton Schultz. He's a must start that's going to have bad weeks, I think. Even though Schultz also had some bad weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's pretty much everyone but Kelsey at this point.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, they're playing each other next week, and you could convince me to start Njoku over Mark Andrews. If it's Anthony Brown at quarterback or whatever, you know, who the hell is their quarterback? The Ravens quarterback. Yeah, Anthony Brown. If he's their quarterback next week. So, all right. Anything else, Jacob? I'm sure you have.
I was going to hit on Travis Etienne, but I saw that you have them in the notes. We'll wait on that. But yeah, just the way that he's drawn targets is really discouraging. And then one encouraging point, and this might just be me being an Elijah Moore truther, just holding on to any possible hope. But Corey Davis got hurt and Elijah Moore played ahead of Denzel Mims, which is something we've seen the opposite happen at times this year. But he actually did play quite a bit. He led the team with 10 targets and 104 air yards. Elijah Moore is really good. And if he gets a chance to play, I think that he could be relevant in fantasy. So like if you're somebody who's held onto him or you've got best ball shares or whatever, like at least we finally saw an encouraging data point, which we haven't seen in like 2 months.
Okay. Dan, I'll give just a few quick snaps. Yeah, Travis Etienne is 12th in routes run among running backs, but he's 26th in targets. He is 62nd in target per route run rate. And, you know, usually you could still rely on him for 2 to 3 catches. He had 0 against the Titans. And that was very discouraging. Joe Mixon, I thought it was great that he was clearly the running downs back. And it was a pretty limited role for Samaje Perine, but you would like to see more snap share from Mixon. Sometimes first game back, it's not quite, you know, what it's going to be. If he has another game where he's playing, you know, about 60% of the snaps or whatever it was, I think it would be a little bit discouraging for Mixon. But it wasn't like Perine really cut into his work that much. And then this was just weird. You know, Chris Godwin, his 2 best games have been his lowest slot percentage games. His 3 worst games have been the games in which he's had the highest slot percentage. His 2 touchdowns this year have come with him on the outside of the formation. Mike Evans lined up right next to him in the slot. So I would guess his production is better out wide than in the slot. I have no idea how to predict what his slot rate is going to be from week to week, but the higher it's been, the worse he has been. So let's get Chris Godwin on the outside a little bit more. Okay, Dan, what do we got from your game film review?
So two of the guys, I had a chance to evaluate three guys on tape. Two of the guys are in our big question. Should I save them or should I go for them?
Yeah, save them. Save them.
Okay, so I'll save them. I'll go for the guy who's not in our four big topics of the week, and that's J.K. Dobbins, who a player who Adam and I had a very different read on. So I know, Adam, you tweeted out you were not very impressed with him. I was incredibly impressed with J.K. Dobbins. So let me just start with a little breakdown of what I liked, and I'll get into some specific plays. What I really liked about Dobbins in this game was the vision cuts. Those are back. He does a really good job of setting up the blocks, understanding where the cutback lane is, and then taking it and getting vertical. On his long run, that was probably the least impressive play I thought, from the standpoint of it didn't show off his burst and his trademark breakaway speed. He houses that 10 out of 10 times when he's fully healthy. But my expectation is he can get back to full health, so I'm not focusing on that. What I am focusing on his long run is the vision and his just savvy as a runner. He sees the hole and he hits it and gets vertical fast. But something I see a lot of running backs do, there's a safety coming down on him, is just take that, just get vertical and keep going straight. What he does is right immediately after he gets vertical on that run, he takes a wide angle and gets diagonal, and that gives him the angle on that safety. The safety eventually does come make the play, but it's all the way down the field after a 44-yard gain. And the pursuing defender on the backside of the angle he took, that diagonal, couldn't catch him. So it was really smart angle, but those weren't my favorite runs of him. They ran a ton of pistol, which is when the quarterback is right behind the snap and the shotgun, the running back's like a yard behind him instead of lining up to the next of him, with a ton of different runs. They had inside zone, they had stretch zone, they had duo up front, and they had a mostly power and gap with pullers. And I just thought he did an excellent job of showing contact balance through contact.
We lost Dan Schneier. That's weird. All right, we'll get him back. Well, I guess I'll just come on, Dan, where'd you go? I guess I'll just get it. All right, here we go. He's back. He's back, everybody. All right, contact balance.
Contact balance through contact point. The ability to what I really like about Dobbins, besides his ability to make those vision cuts and to have those like jump cuts that get into the right lanes, he does a really good job of staying low, and his pad level is always so low. There was one run where I have it written in my notes. It was a pistol run at a power gap with two pullers. The end man in the line of scrimmage, those pullers don't get around him. He is setting the edge, that defensive player. And what does Dobbins do? Instead of running into him or running high where you can make the tackle, this would have been a 0 or 1 yard loss for 75% or more of the running backs I watch on a week-to-week basis. Dobbins got in between that guy, got super, super low with his pad level, and just kind of dove forward for 5 yards. I thought he did a great job in this game. The best run, though, for those of you, I want to start bringing up like clips in case people do subscribe to the All 22 so they can look at it. If you look at Q4 with 7:50 left in the fourth quarter, that run there at a pistol zone run off tackle right, he does such a good job of letting the entire defensive line flow with the offensive line on this wide zone, and then beautiful vision cut back into the middle for, I think it was like a 13-yard gain. So I thought his vision was great. I thought the contact balance was great. His ability to run with low pad level was great. The jump cuts were great. He doesn't have the breakaway speed that he used to have right now. I'm just banking on he can get that back as he like plays more, yeah, and maybe as he gets healthier. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. It might be.
No,
he's a full offseason of recovery.
I sent you the quote. He said, if I were in better shape, I would have scored on that play.
Right. And he still reached 20 miles per hour on that play, which isn't actually that impressive, because I saw a Ravens beat writer galloping. Say it was like the ninth fastest time of any Raven this year. So yeah,
he looked really weird.
He did not look fast on that play. Like, if regardless of what the next gen stats say, he should have housed that play, and he normally does, but everything else that was there with Dobbins that made me fall in love with him as a prospect out of Ohio State is still there and was on film and was on display, I should say, on the tape.
Dobbins said he would have scored on his 44-yard gallop if he had been in better shape. Yeah. This from Raven. I think it was from BaltimoreRavens.com or the team website.
Yeah.
It's still not me all the way yet, and I'm going to continue to get better. Hopefully those 100-yard games will turn into 200-yard games. I'm going to keep getting healthier. And if he does, great. I don't disagree. The one thing I did notice was, one of the things I noticed was the vision was great. He did a really nice job setting up the blocks and making the cut and finding the yards, and that was very impressive. He just wasn't the explosive J.K. Dobbins
right.
of old.
And that I agree with entirely. Yeah. This wasn't what we were used to from an explosive standpoint.
All right, so before we get into our big topics here, there was some music I wanted to play. We got a bonus Fantasy Cops here on this Monday episode of Beyond the Box Score Fantasy Football Today. All right, Fantasy Cops from Trevor. Dear every Star Wars character, help me, you're our only hope. I'm in a 12-team PPR league where 6 teams make the playoffs. The top 2 seeds get a bye. Rules are very clear in our league that a league member must always field a full lineup as long as that particular game can affect the league in any way. This point has been reiterated in multiple texts recently, and all league members were aware of the rule prior to this week's games. Our second-place team will definitely be taking a loss this week. Our third-place team is only 1 game behind the second-place team and has the tiebreaker. His opponent, who's out of the playoffs, failed to start a kicker as his was on a bye. He claims that he wanted to mess with the second place player and wait the entire day to add a kicker. We do not buy this reason and believe he was simply negligent. Well, as you may have guessed, the third place team proceeded to pick up both kickers for Monday night before his opponent could, basically locking up the second place position and earning the bye. Obviously, some discussions will take place on our end, so this won't happen in the future. But that doesn't solve our dilemma for this year. Discussion has already taken place that an option would be to have the commissioner remove one of the two kickers and automatically insert him into the negligent manager's lineup. Nothing has been finalized, as we hate to punish a team for simply playing the game. I'll be listening. Hope you can offer some sort of remedy or punishment. All right, so we got a bye on the line here. Second place team lost. Third place team is going to win tonight unless his opponent's kicker scores like 9 points. So he picked up both kickers for Monday Night Football because the opponent's been very lazy, I guess. And what do we do here, guys? Do we let it stand or do we remove a kicker from the lineup and give it to the opponent?
I guess my first question would be, like, was there a precedent set? Because I would imagine right. This isn't the first time that, because the rule in place is essentially you have to field the full lineup, which I love. I love that rule. But is it self-policed? Is the commissioner policed? Because if a precedent has been set, like in the past where someone forgot to do it and a commissioner moved someone in that lineup, then God bless, put that kicker in that man's lineup right now or that woman or man's lineup right now and let it go. But if that hasn't happened before and you have actually relied on people to self-police and they've done a good job of it, and this is your first time ever of this happening, now you don't have the precedent. So now you're like, you're setting the precedent, right? So if you do put that kicker in, you open yourself up to a lot of subjectivity in the future, because some people will be like, well, how did you decide which one to put in the lineup, right? And and should you penalize this person for being smart? And he didn't really do anything wrong. He just picked up two kickers because the other guy was lazy. So I think... what you decide here is going to kind of decide the future of your league in these situations. And I'm not sure where I stand yet. I want to hear what you two have to say, and then I'll kind of finalize my opinion.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I was thinking the same thing, because it says rules are very clear in our league that a league member must always field a full lineup, and like they texted about and everything. So I would have thought that there was already a rule in place.
Right.
And you would just, you know, go by that. I think what they've laid out is about the best that I could come up with off the top in terms of just like, you don't want to penalize him or take anything away, but like if you do give the other person the kicker that he was going to pick up, that he said he was going to pick up, and like we have a clear rule in place, so you have to do it, I think that makes sense. But yeah, it does set precedence if it hasn't already been set.
I think you give him a kicker. I think the rule is, and the league, like the spirit of the league, is to always have a complete lineup. Yeah. If someone went and did something to prevent this manager from having a complete lineup, I think you give him the kicker. You might let the third place manager choose the opponent's kicker if you want to kind of penalize the opponent. But I think he should have a full lineup, and I think you give him the kicker.
I think I agree with that. I just think I can't think of it on the top of my head right now, but there could be some situations down the line where this is brought back up and people are like, no, you can't do this because remember the time you made me pick somebody and you put him in somebody's lineup, and it's just like, it opens up a Pandora's box.
I guess so. But hey, don't be so freaking lazy. Pick up a stupid kicker, man.
That's really on
you. You created a lot of problems for this league. The fantasy cops will not have any of this crap anymore. Get it together. All right, 4 big topics when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, TaylorBrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. All right, we're talking about some struggling running backs. Heath's first, this is not Heath Cummings, a different guy named Heath, believe it or not. Four big topic, and I just said believe it or not, and that's a Heath thing.
That is a Heath.
Do you bench the big name running backs in the playoffs that are slumping, Chubb, ETN, etc., for emerging fresh legs like Bam Knight? So Jacob, I'll give you the first word here. Nick Chubb, I think we should really take this week by week. Mm-hmm. Nick Chubb has arguably the best run defense in football right now. Since trading for Roquan Smith, the Ravens are allowing 2.6 yards per carry to running backs in 5 games. That's insane. But he is Nick Chubb. Travis Etienne is obviously struggling. He gets Dallas this week. They're not great against the run, but they don't give up a lot of points to the running backs. Do you bench them for a guy like Bam Knight, who's facing the Lions, who's actually been also very good against the run lately? Or, I don't know, Pacheco? Those are the names that come to mind. Deontay Foreman, maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you could consider benching ETN for Pacheco. I don't know about Bam Knight, just given the way the usage broke down. We did see Michael Carter play more this week and really dominate the passing downs for the Jets. I'm pretty concerned about ETN. Like you mentioned, he ran 25 routes this week, didn't draw a single target. He's been targeted at such a low rate this year. He's been targeted at a lower rate than Nick Chubb. He's been targeted at a lower rate than freaking Brian Robinson. Like, it's been insane. And his schedule isn't great in terms of run defense coming up here until the fantasy championship against Houston. So the next two spots for ETN, I think he's probably going to project as like a outside of the top 20 at running back, which is pretty nuts given where we were just a couple of weeks ago. For Nick Chubb, the matchup against the Ravens is tough, and same thing with the Commanders in 2 weeks. And even the Saints is not an ideal matchup, but each of these are games that the Browns could control the game script a little bit better than we've seen. Because like the offenses they're playing are really not inspiring right now. Like even less inspiring than the Browns' defense. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think you're probably rolling with Chubb over most of these guys going forward, but I think you could bench Etienne.
Dan, I know you did some, I think you did some film study on Nick Chubb or the Browns. I'll just say in their 5 wins, he's averaging 22.2 carries per game and 110 rushing yards per game. In their 8 losses, 15 carries per game, 75.3 rushing yards per game. But it goes further than that. It's not just wins and losses. It's blowout losses. As long as they're competitive, you're getting a decent workload from Nick Chubb. The problem is they just haven't really been that competitive lately. You know, like they lost by 13 to Cincinnati, I believe. He had 14 carries. They lost by 8 to the Bills, but that was an 18-point game in the fourth quarter. He had 14 carries. They got crushed by the Dolphins. He had 11 carries. What do you think about Chubb?
Yeah, so I did every snap of Chubb versus Cincy, and I also did every snap of Lawrence this week. So I'm just going to start with a quick takeaway from ETN. I think it's really interesting to note, watching the Jaguars offense, there is nothing for the running backs in the pass game. There's no involvement in the screen game. They throw their screens to tight ends. There's no involvement really in the play action quick hitting game. They throw those quick hitters to Evan Ingram or to those like tight ends leaking. So there's no wheel routes. There's really nothing to get these running backs involved in the pass game. So I think that is something to really consider right now, especially as we watch that Jags pass game, which we'll talk about in a little bit, evolve into such a heavy hitter. Like right now, that pass game is operating at a high level so that they don't need the run game as much. So I agree with Jacob, what he said on ETN. Now, as far as Chubb goes, watching the film against Cincy, I just felt like Cincy was fully prepared. Right now, teams are playing the Browns, like they don't have a good quarterback in place. I know it's Deshaun Watson. He has a big name, but right now it almost looks like they're playing him like it's some backup quarterback because their classic play, the stretch zone, which the Browns have run for years with Nick Chubb. Every single time they tried stretch zone against Cincinnati, those Cincinnati defenders were stacked around the line of scrimmage. They didn't lose contain and they flowed everything back to the inside. They tried a lot of misdirection in this game, which really surprised me and takes away touches from Nick Chubb. They gave the ball to Hunt on a misdirection with Chubb in the backfield. They kept the ball with Watson one time on a misdirection with Chubb in the backfield. They handed it on an end around one time to Njoku with Chubb in the backfield. Chubb was on the field for every one of those plays, but he was used as eye candy to kind of get the defense to focus in on him and flow to his direction while they handed off to someone else. Ultimately, that's not good for his value in general for fantasy because he's not getting the football there. So this was a tough matchup. DJ Reader was back and he played unbelievable. Like when you watch a film of running back, you can watch the D-line and O-line. And he was like one of the best players on the field, maybe in general in that game. And so that's a big factor. But you just mentioned it. The matchups aren't getting that much easier, really. Maybe the game script's getting a little better. Maybe. But I don't know if that's even the case right now watching the Bengals offense. Because Watson, I know you said the stats were a little better, Jacob, but I was not too impressed with watching Watson this game. So right now, I just feel like it's a bad situation. Defenses are going to be keying in on the run game, taking away the stretch zone, which they love to run. And so I don't know if they're going to keep using him also like eye candy on some of those plays and giving the ball to Njoku or Hunt or keeping it with Watson. I don't really know what he is. A 14 touch player, right? Doesn't get much involved in the pass game.
I think he'll be more than that as long as they're competitive. It's like they don't.
If they're competitive, right.
And I think they will be against the Ravens and the Saints and the Commanders personally.
But they have to run the ball to be competitive at this point, it feels like.
No, right. This is unusual for him. In his last five games, he's averaging like 3.8 yards per carry. I mean, that is like a normal running back averaging 2 yards per carry.
Yeah.
I mean, for Nick Chubb, that's surprising. What's different, though? It's not like he's ever had a good quarterback, you know? So I have faith in him to run the ball well. I think he can. It's like Derrick Henry, right? I mean, Derrick Henry, all the metrics were terrible for Derrick Henry going into this game against Jacksonville. He ran for like 95 yards in the first quarter.
Right.
So I don't think it's going to take much. I just think they have to be in the game so he can get his 17 to 22 carries. And they'll probably be all right. But
that's fair. I think this was just a bad matchup.
I am concerned about him this week because the Ravens are ridiculous on defense right now. The Saints and the Commanders, I feel like he can do fine against. Any last thoughts, Jacob?
Oh, I'm with you. I think the ability's there. We've really never seen Chubb been bottled up before, and he's been in lots of bad offenses. I think he'll get going, and I think the game scripts are going to be a lot better.
I'll be interested to see both those games because I think Commanders are playing much better in run defense. I just watched them 2 weeks ago against the Giants.
They are.
It's a similar thing to Cincy. They're super sound in their gap technique. Like we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, now if you want to talk about Barkley as another struggling running back, I'm losing a lot of faith in Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's averaging 6.2 yards per catch. That's terrible.
His yards per carry has also dipped every single week from his average the first 8 games before the bye. Every single week it's been below his average.
Wow.
Since the bye.
And I mentioned this stat, and this is a guy I'm not considering sitting, but Dalvin Cook averaged 1.5 yards per carry against the Lions yesterday, his fewest in any game in which he's had 10 or more carries in his career.
He does not look good in that. In my opinion, he does not look good in that blocking scheme.
Well, the Lions also have really come on, though, as a run defense.
Yeah, so they're playing better.
Bam night. All right, Jacob, this one's handpicked for you. Tommy wants to know, can we trust Jerry Jeudy in the playoffs? He has Arizona, the Rams, and the Chiefs in the playoffs. Can we trust Jerry Jeudy? 3 touchdowns yesterday.
I think so. I don't necessarily love the spot against the Rams just because I think the Rams are so bad right now, but they played a little bit better this week. But I just, in general, my projections against the Rams go way down for the passing offenses in terms of volume. He's kind of a volume player right now, but he's completely dominating the target share. I think Jerry Jeudy's really good. Obviously we've been talking about that for a long time, but when he's been on the field, so any play that Jerry Jeudy has been on the field, on those plays, he has a 26% target share and a 36% air yardage share. Both of those would be like top 12 rates over the course of the full season. I think that it's fair that like he might really be that type of a player. And then when you project it with, you know, the overall offensive environment, that drops him down to like top 20-ish wide receiver, which is someone you can trust most weeks, especially in not negative matchups, which is what he has coming up. So I feel pretty good about him. I think I had him ranked 20th this week. And if I would have known that he's going to play the full allotment of the slots, he projected as like a top 14 guy against the Chiefs in a game where they're going to be passing a lot. And so that's what you're looking at in the fantasy championship.
And he played only, I think, 18% of his snaps in the slot this week. Mm-hmm. They moved him to the 15.5%. His previous low in a game, week 13, two games ago, he played 47%, but he barely played in that game. His previous low was 56%. So he's a slot receiver, but with Courtland Sutton out, he was an outside receiver almost exclusively.
He's been much better when he's outside of the slot, though, in college and in the pros. He's just kind of been pigeonholed into that spot because he's been playing alongside Tim Patrick and Courtland Sutton, you know?
Yeah.
But I think he has proven that he can definitely win from the outside.
Well, that's the big question here is I trust Jerry Jeudy if there's no Courtland Sutton, and even if somebody like Russell Wilson is playing. Do I trust Jerry Jeudy if Brett Rippon is playing, which is probably the case against the Cardinals? And do I trust Jerry Jeudy if Courtland Sutton's on the field? Because we just haven't seen big production from him all that much, just in a little bit, with Sutton playing. And I think, again, you take it week to week. But yesterday was the absolute best scenario for Jeudy, right? No Sutton. Russell Wilson finally played well, and they played the Chiefs, and they were trailing 27-0. It doesn't get any better than that. So the injuries, I think, to his quarterback and his wide receiver are, I think, they're a big deal. Jacob, do you? Or I mean, do you think they factor in?
I don't think Sutton actually affects him all that much. They've run 250 routes together this season, which is a decent sample size. And Jeudy has a 25% target share and a 34% yardage share, so pretty close to the numbers I just gave. Just when he's been on the field in general, he really hasn't been affected that much in terms of his ability to draw volume when Sutton's out in there. So, but if you're going to say like Sutton being out there will move him to the slot more and he's less efficient there, then that's fair.
Yeah.
But I think he's still clearly proven to be the number one receiver when Sutton's there.
All right. This is from Jay. Pass catcher distribution for Trevor Lawrence. We have kind of discussed this, but there's actually a lot here. Because Zay Jones has double-digit targets in three of his last four games. We know Travis Etienne is not a big part of it. I said earlier, Trevor Lawrence has thrown the most passes in the NFL into the end zone, most end zone attempts. Christian Kirk has 10 end zone targets. Zay Jones has 10. That's a lot. Evan Engram has 6. I think, you know, we could talk about the pass distribution guys, but Dan, I think we should talk about the schedule because he's faced... he had a great game against Baltimore. That was really encouraging. Yep. But the Chiefs before that, it was a nice matchup. He was bad. He struggled against the Lions 2 weeks ago, but they've obviously been a lot better. The Titans were playing without their top cornerback, and they see more passes than almost anyone in football. It's about to get a lot more challenging. Dallas and the Jets in the next 2 weeks. So, you know, what do you think this means for the passing offense and I guess for the target distribution?
Yeah, those matchups aren't great, but I will say this, having watched the tape of Trevor Lawrence this week against Tennessee, that was phenomenal quarterback play. That was elite level quarterback play. And I don't say that, I don't throw that word around a lot. I really only feel like very few quarterbacks are making a difference on a week to week basis. Burrow, Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, not too many more than that. Trevor Lawrence played at that level in this game. What was interesting most to me is that there wasn't really, it didn't feel like there was any kind of focus to get the ball to Christian Kirk, a player who earlier in the season, there was a massive focus. He even had a good game recently as well. But Zay Jones is the player who keeps popping up for me. They came within inches. I don't know what happened because from the all 22 angle, Lawrence threw about a 45-yard bomb that hit him right in the hands, split the safety and the cornerback, one of the best throws I've seen all year, and it just dropped it. And so there still is a massive volume for Jones. He's probably the one I would feel most confident in outside of Christian Kirk, but they're not going to like target one player or funnel targets through a certain type of player. They're just going to spread the ball around. He's at that point right now, Lawrence, where he's as comfortable as he is in the pocket. His pocket manipulation is amazing. His arm talent is filthy, and he trusts it. He fit incredible amount of hole shots in this game. One tight window ball he threw to Evan Engram, where Engram just ran up the seam, and there was literally 5 yards of space between the linebacker and the safety. I counted it on my screen. And Engram was stacked right between them. So that was another yard. So basically 4 yards. And he threw the ball between them, hits the tight end right in the stomach. It's caught. And so he's just going to take what's there for him. So I don't really trust from a fantasy standpoint any of these guys. And I am a little bit worried, like you said, about the schedule because those hole shots won't be there if he's facing other defenses, I think. We'll see what happens, especially the Jets.
Dallas is a little depleted, though. In the last 2 weeks, Dallas they lost is a little starting depleted. Corner that and one a starting little, safety. Yeah. I think it's going to be a matter of, can they protect Trevor Lawrence?
Say this though, on that note, Adam, there were multiple times in this game, and I have in my notes right now, I'm looking at them with timestamps, where the protection broke down for Lawrence, and he did a phenomenal job of moving around in the pocket, sometimes out of the pocket to rip a ball, sometimes to his left to find Agnew on that 3rd and 4. So I don't think the pressure played a huge role. I think he got pressured in this game and did a great job throwing under pressure.
Well, that's like Justin Herbert last night. under pressure the entire game. He was able to get away from it. Yeah, you know, I'll bring this up here. I didn't have a popular opinion last night on the recap show. I said I'd rather have Trevor Lawrence than Justin Fields in Dynasty.
I would definitely rather have Trevor Lawrence than Justin Fields in Dynasty.
Hmm. What do you think, Jacob?
That's really tough. I think Lawrence probably has a better shot of sticking around and being a quarterback for a long time, you know, so especially if you're like in a super flex league, the added stability there of like potentially having 10 good years from Lawrence is really valuable. But man, the upside for Justin Fields, if he's able to sustain anything close to what we've seen this year over multiple years, like he's a difference maker. He's one of the most valuable in super flex. He's like one of the most valuable players available at any position. Mm-hmm. And just in a normal dynasty league, he's got top three, top five quarterback upside, which I don't know if Lawrence necessarily does for fantasy.
I think he does eventually. We'll see what happens. But there's a thing that people always love to talk about, like, oh, the weapons. Everybody, what weapons does Trevor Lawrence have right now? Christian Kirk is like his best weapon. He's a solid player. I don't think he's a wide receiver one. Zay Jones, he's getting career games out of Zay Jones and Evan Ingram. Like Evan Ingram, I watched for 5 years on the Giants be horrific at football. And he just had a career game with them. Yeah. Like it's not like their O-line's very good either. Cam Robinson's an okay left tackle, and they have Sheriff and not much else. So I really like what I've seen from Lawrence. I know what you're saying with Fields because of the rushing upside. Like, it's probably a bad take by us, Adam, to want Lawrence over Fields in Dynasty. I get that.
Well, everybody's obsessed with the runner, but the better pass. Everybody's obsessed with the runner, but first and foremost,
for good reason,
you got to pass the ball. You can't just be a runner. You got to be a passer. Though,
yeah, yeah.
No, find me a top five quarterback that's not putting up good passing numbers. It just doesn't happen. I mean,
would it be Fields, I guess?
No, he's not a top five quarterback.
On a per-game basis, is he not? No. Because he had that bad start to the season.
Oh, terrible start.
He's not even close because of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... And I mean, maybe Fields becomes Jalen Hurts. Maybe he becomes Jalen Hurts and has a huge leap because Jalen Hurts, I never thought he could become this good of a passer.
But he would need incredible. Like he would need the team to get a lot better, right? Like Jalen Hurts has the best offensive line in football. He has A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. The Bears are like nowhere close to Fields, that kind of team.
What was I going to say? All right, I don't think Jacob gave us an answer, Jake. All right, so listen, you've got Justin Fields. I've got Trevor Lawrence. I just sent you a trade offer in Dynasty. My Lawrence for your Fields. Accept or reject?
I'm going to keep Fields. I mean, I laid out a few different scenarios in which I think you could go either way, depending on the format of the league, what your philosophy is, what you're doing with the team, if you need to swing for more upside with Fields. But just in a vacuum, I'll take Fields.
All right. Screw you, man. From Baldy Beast. Last topic here. Can you trust the New Orleans Saints? Great schedule coming up. Indeed, they do. Atlanta. Well, actually, I don't know about Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland has that bad of a defense. They have a bad run defense, for sure. They're pretty good against the pass. Atlanta at Cleveland and then at Philadelphia, which is obviously not an easy game. Can you trust the Saints? In the Saints' last five games, since they destroyed the Raiders... they've been terrible. They're 1-4. They have scored 16 or fewer points in four of those five games. They have not run more than 56 plays in any of them. They've had the ball for 25 minutes and 10 seconds or less in three of them. They've just been awful. But they face the Ravens, Steelers, Rams, Niners, and Bucks. So it is going to get, I guess, a little bit easier. So, Dan, do you trust the New Orleans Saints going forward?
I do not trust the New Orleans Saints going forward. I understand the schedule is somewhat favorable, as we just broke down. But I've watched that offense all year. I'm sticking with my guns on this. I think losing Sean Payton was the biggest difference that I've seen in that offense. They're just, I know they have some of the same people who worked with him and they understand his system and they're not running a different system, but those games, you know, those play-to-play situational play calls that Sean Payton had and the timing, when to call the screen, you know, finding the defense off guard when you call the screen, things of that nature, it's not there anymore for this offense. So I think they've lost their magic from a scheme and schematic standpoint. And you take away the magic from a schematic standpoint, you take away Taron Armstead at left tackle. You don't have much left. You have Alvin Kamara and what else? Like, where is the talent on that Saints team that makes me believe that offense can spark and get going right now? Olave as well. I shouldn't have included him. There's two really talented players, but not much talent at quarterback. Not much talent on the offensive line, not much success from a schematic standpoint. I don't like it.
Jacob?
Yeah, I mean, effectively the question is, can you trust Chris Olave or Alvin Kamara, right? Like, is there anyone else from the Saints offense that we're caring about for fantasy?
No. Well, Juwan Johnson is an interesting tight end, but I don't trust him. as far as I can throw them, and I can't throw them.
Yeah, so if it's just those two, I think yes. I mean, Alave, since he's become the starter, has double-digit points in every game except for one, PPR points. And the volume has just consistently been there, and these are pretty good matchups coming up. And Kamara, with Ingram out, I think we should see his usage be better than it was. Ingram was getting annoyingly involved, and we've got some really good matchups for him. Like, the Cleveland matchup is great for him. It's not as great for Alave necessarily, but I think I trust those two to be people you can plug in, and they do give you upside because they're such talented players as well. Like, they do give you the big play upside. Overall offensive environment, no, we don't feel good about it, obviously.
Yeah, I think Eric McCoy, if they can get him back, their starting center, he's missed the last five games, I believe, and that's when all their struggles started, maybe the last four. And that would be big coming out of the bye if they can get him back. Yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, they're sticking with Andy Dalton. But this is probably a good week for them. I'm going to be starting Alvin Kamara. Put it this way. I would start Kamara over Barkley. I would start Kamara over Etienne. And in a full PPR league, I'd probably start him over Nick Chubb this week.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that?
I think I agree with all.
Jerkface Dan, what do you think?
Say that again. Sorry.
Starting Kamara over Barkley, Chubb, and Etienne in PPR.
Kamara over Barkley, Chubb, and Etienne. I'd start him over Barkley in that matchup. I'd start him over. Yeah, I think I might start him over all three of those. Yeah. Just sad to say.
Boy, you know, our show must have been so boring today because our chat on YouTube, they were talking about movies almost the entire time. The entire time, just talking about...
I don't think it was boring. I think it was a good show. So
that was a very good show.
I don't want to say screw the chat. I love the chat. But sometimes it's more fun to talk about movies. I understand.
What about Christopher Nolan? Kevin Smith, the best actor in Any Which Way You Can was Clyde. Terry Gilliam is good. I love Guy Ritchie. Like, what are you guys talking about? Clint Eastwood. There was some Tarantino talk earlier. There was a lot of Titanic talk in the chat today. A lot of Titanic talk. John Favreau isn't bad. Like, this is really fun. I think Dan is the one who tweeted that, or retweeted maybe, that what? Elf is not funny. Is that you?
That what is not funny?
Elf.
No, I didn't. Definitely did not. Say
okay,
that.
Not do not accuse me of that.
I love that movie. I
someone
love
from
that
our
movie.
Someone from our company did though, and that's what I kind of like. I think I quote tweeted saying this was a bad take.
Oh, you quote tweeted it was a bad take. Who wrote? Was that Chris?
I don't think it was Chris though.
It was probably Thomas, right?
We I would his, think it would be Chris. Thomas has some weird. I agree with Thomas on some of his takes. Are
I love Elf.
Thomas got mad at me for being an ageist yesterday.
What did he say?
I bought a sweater. I bought a Christmas sweater that says, I don't know Margot. And I thought Dave would get the reference and Heath wouldn't. And I was right about Heath, but Dave did not get it. And Schaefer was the only one who got the, well, I don't know Margot reference.
What is it in reference to?
Christmas Vacation.
I never seen it.
Whoa. Jeez, this
Why is this still surprise this you when
guy.
I said never seen it? I've seen like four total movies.
Oh,
they're all
man.
Like Pulp Fiction, The Godfathers, Goodfellas, Casino.
Oh, man. All right. Well, Christmas Vacation, one of the best Christmas gangster movies. You should definitely watch it.
Gangster?
Yeah, I love it. All right. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow with the waiver wire for Fantasy Week 15. Rex Burkhead. All right. See you then.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons. And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.